The first scripture reading for today comes from Ephesians 4:22-25. That is from Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. Chapter 4, verses 22-25. The Apostle Paul encourages us to be clothed in a new self, to be changed in such a way that we more closely reflect who Jesus is to us. Let's read. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak to the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Here ends the first scripture reading.
It's exciting to have graduation Sunday where we recognize pretty clearly that there's a transition, a moving from one thing to the next. That is what we find in both of our scriptures, that there is a change that is taking place, or a change that should take place in all of our lives. Now, last week when we brought on new members and we had 8 baptisms, there was also a very visible sign of a change that was taking place in people's lives as they were being baptized. This Sunday, we have a similar opportunity as we come together around the table, but we don't always associate taking communion or taking the Lord's Supper and change. Because we do it, and we do it on a regular basis, we can potentially fall into the routine that this is something just that we do on a routine basis. It doesn't really demand any kind of a change. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but every single one of the new members and those who were baptized last week, part of the liturgy of that was that they were to renounce sin in their lives. There was a renunciation of sin, and that's a core part of not only joining the church, but it's a core part of also being baptized. There was a there's a young family who's been attending the last couple weeks, and after the service last Sunday, they came up to me and said, "Now we're looking for a church. We're church shopping." They actually used those words. No one actually normally comes up and tells me we're church shopping, but they said there are two things that interest us more than anything else. One is, what do you believe about baptism? Okay, and the second is, how often do you take part in communion? And let me tell you, it's so refreshing, because most folks who are curious about joining the church want to know, what's your stance on homosexuality, and what do you think about some other civic or social issue that for me isn't quite as important as baptism or communion. So it was so refreshing to hear that interest. And they had been there the Sunday when Brett preached, and we did communion that Sunday, and they were here last Sunday when we had baptism, so I felt like doing a bat flip, you know? Covered. I'm done. You know, I'm going to drop the mic. I'm finished. But it was really, really nice to be able to recognize that part of these services is a recognition, not that we're just taking part in a tradition, but we are actually demanded to change. We're actually required to introspectively and look in such a way at our lives that things are different after we take part in whatever we take part in together on Sunday mornings. Same thing happens in both of our scripture. Paul encourages us, renew your minds. Change your old way of life. Jacob, in our scripture today, as we look in Genesis chapter 35, he faces the same reality where he recognizes that in his life and in the lives of those around him, something simply has to change. And he addresses those changes in a good Presbyterian fashion. We're going to look at a 3-point sermon. There are 3 areas that have to happen in order of importance, or certainly in order And they have to be done in a specific order as well. So let's go ahead and look at Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 4. And we see the change that Jacob requires of his people. And it may surprise you. It's Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 4. Let's read our scripture for today. God said to Jacob, so this is God speaking to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and settle there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." Remember when he wrestled with God? "And so Jacob then said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your clothes.'" You hear that order? Put away the gods. "Purify yourselves and change your clothes. And then come, let us go to Bethel, that I may make an altar there to the God who answered me in the day of my distress. And he's been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak that was near Shechem. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if we talk about the renunciation of sin, we need to recognize that each one of us has been covered by the blood of Jesus, and it is that blood that allows us to renounce sin. In the same way as Paul states that we are to put on a new self, the same self in which God made us. You remember how we were created? We were made how? Each one of us. We were made in the image of God. That's still the case, by the way. Now, Calvin says that that image has become so cloudy and distorted because of sin that it's hard to find, but it's still there. We're still able to identify it and distinguish it and hold it up as the ideal after which we ought to strive. And so we're striving after that image today to take off the old sinful self and put on the new righteous self made in the image of God. I feel as if there are a lot of folks in our society and in our church who are waiting for an opportunity to change their lives. There's a lot of people who are in transition right now. Think of your own life. Are there areas where you feel like you are transitioning? Graduates, that's an obvious one, right? Others of you, maybe you're moving. Maybe health has been such that it's causing you to change your lifestyle or your life. Maybe you've just been married. Maybe you've just had kids. There are a lot of families who have been wanting to do something different, to recognize and almost forced to approach life differently as well in this day and age. Now, of course, the church can serve as a catalyst for a vehicle of transformation. If you look around you, don't be shy, don't be bashful, you'll see people who, you're all looking at me, you're not looking at each other. Look around, look at each other, smile at each other. This is the most uncomfortable time of any sermon because you don't know the person next to you. No, you all sit in the same places, you know each other, who am I kidding? But that person next to you is in the midst of a transition. Just like you are as well. St. Francis of Assisi once said that God has worked through all things unholy. If he can work through me, he can work through anyone. It's true. Today we're going to learn that even in our sinfulness, even in our impurity, even in our imperfection, dereliction, criminality, hostility, and apathy, God can still work through us. So Jacob in Genesis chapter 5, we're back there now. He's called in verse 1 by God, directly by God. And he's following along, if you remember, just like his ancestors. God spoke directly to his grandfather Abraham and said, pick up and go, move. That's exactly what he's telling Jacob today. Remember everything Jacob's been through, which I've dragged you through as well, right? Wrestling with God, meeting Esau, expecting the worst, and getting a tremendous blessing. We've all gone through that, and that's behind us today. But before he raises his hand and volunteers and says, Lord, I will follow that way, he does something that each one of us needs to do before we move forward in whatever transition we may be facing in our lives. We have to make things right with God because God has already made things right with us. So he's told, chapter 35, to pick up his things and go. And just like his grandfather, Abraham, before him, he's challenged with this major transition in life. He's told to go to Bethel. Now, Bethel, that's a significant name in the Bible. Bethel is a combination of two words, Beth and El. Beth means house. So Bethlehem means the house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethany means house of figs, right? Oh, I should have thought of that. Okay. Then El means God, like El Shaddai, right? El, the God of the God Almighty. So Bethel means the house of God. Pick up and move and go to Bethel or the promised land. And so once Jacob gets this command, he calls his family together, his household, and he says, okay, people, God is calling us to move. But we're not going to go anywhere until we are made right with God. That means that we have to put away all those idols that are lying around in our houses. Now, when I read that, I thought, why is Jacob allowing these idols to be lying around his house? Isn't Jacob the chosen one who's Israel, the one who's establishing a nation, who establishes all the different tribes of Israel as well? So why in the world do they have these idols hiding around in their house? That's still a part of their reality. It's still a part of who they are, and it's not supposed to be. That's sin that has manifested itself and cropped up. It says we have to purify ourselves. We have to make sure that we are right before God. So we have to put away our idols. We have to purify ourselves, and then we have to change our clothes so that our outside appearance, our actions, what people see of us, match that inner purity that we have from God. Once we have done this, then we can go. I want you to notice the order of that transformation. So let's look at chapter 35 again. And verse 2 especially is the key verse because it gives us that order. Put away the foreign gods, purify yourselves, and change your clothes. So the first one is, first thing we have to do is rid ourselves of our idols. None of us, not a single one of us, have the types of idols that Jacob had lying around his house, right? We don't come into our house and the first thing we do is kiss or embrace or hug or bow down or pray to an idol that we may have on our doorpost or some. We don't have that, right? That's just not part of the way in which we live our lives. But we do have idols, and you've heard sermons on the idols of our lives, right? What are those things that separate us from God? What are those things that keep us apart from Him? There's one idol that I want to lift up. Karl Barth said once that a sermon is not a sermon until it converts whom? The preacher, right? That's me, by the way, in case you were wondering. So today is Stacy and my anniversary. 23 years. Thank you. All right. And I'm done now. Let's go to God in prayer. No, it's not the end of it. 23 years, we have been wonderful, great, great journey. It's been outstanding, a tremendous journey. Over these last few months, there's been something that's kind of gotten in the way, right? Maybe over the last year. So I have an important job. I don't know if you realize that or not. And so I need to stay in touch with all of you on a daily basis. And I need to know what's going on in the news. I need to make sure I know that that everything that's happening, I'm in touch with, right? So when I get home, what do I do? Huh? Well, okay, but let me reverse that. What do you do when you get home? Yeah, I don't change my clothes. Yeah, sorry. I'm not John Mack, right, who works in a pig farm and has to change your clothes. Oh, have you ever been to a pig farm? Boy, that... Oh, sorry. unrelated. It was an amazing experience to go see that. So the first thing I do when I get home is I check my phone. And I'm on my phone. And I'm on my phone, right? Anyone else have that problem? No, it's just me. Well, if you happen to have that problem, that's an idol. And it's not the problem of technology, right? That's our problem. We can't blame something else for that. And so when we talk about the idols in life and putting them away, maybe you have something else that kind of makes you distant or separate from God or from your relationships with people at home. But if you don't think it's the cell phone, just think of how many times you may be on that when your family's around. Or think of how many times you may be on that. Yeah, I know, Dick, you don't have a cell phone to worry about. I know. But for those of you who do, think of how much time you spend on it. That's an idol. And there's one small period of time where I had put it on the bookshelf and forgot it for maybe a week, and boy, it made a difference, and then it just didn't do it again. But we're gonna do that. We're gonna change our clothes now. And I encourage each one of you, if that's an idol in your life, as soon as you get home, put that phone on a bookshelf. It's not the phone's fault. It's your fault, right? Don't blame technology. I don't want to sound like an old geezer. Oh, did I just say that? I don't want to sound like someone who's complaining about technology. I'm not. I'm just lifting up the fact that we're weak. So we need to have discipline. We need to do something that is able to force us to be disciplined. Put away your idols. The second step is when Jacob tells everyone to purify themselves once they hand over these idols. So hand over the idols and then go purify yourselves after the idols are no longer part of the picture. There's only one way in the Jewish culture that the people purified themselves. Remember Jesus and John the Baptist as they were baptizing in the Jordan, right? That's what they would do to purify themselves before they went to the temple. Because they had to be pure. And the significance of that was once you came out of the waters, then internally you were pure. It had much less to do with an external cleansing, much more of an internal cleansing. So once you put away the idols, then you have to purify yourself. So what does that look like for us? That second step for us is allowing us to recognize that when we accept Jesus into our lives, into our families, then he washes us clean. Recognizing the role and the importance of Christ in our lives, allowing him to be Lord of every single part of our lives as well. And the third step is the changing of clothes. What does that look like? And you've heard about the preacher who went to buy a suit, right? And there was one that he absolutely loved. It was his favorite one, but it didn't quite fit him well enough. It didn't quite fit him right. The sleeves were too long. But he figured if he lifted up his shoulders, right, no one would notice. The pants were just a little too short, but he figured if he could hunch over, right, no one would notice because the pants would come down. And that waist was way too tight, but if he sucked in his breath, he'd be perfect. So there he went, walking out of the store, just a little crooked, And someone remarked, "Boy, that man sure is all crooked, but doesn't his suit fit him well?" Brothers and sisters, if it is time for a transition in our lives, and I believe it is, don't just change your clothes. Make sure that we have a renounced evil and whatever hold that sin has upon our lives. Make sure we've allowed the blood of Jesus to wash us clean, because if we haven't, no matter what front we put on, no matter how we scrunch ourselves up, no matter what suit we wear inside, we'll still be crooked. My greatest concern, though, is that once we do put away our idols and once we do purify ourselves, then we put on our same old clothes. Hypocrisy is an easy goal for all of us. The hypocritical suits can fit us all too well if we're not careful. And the reason that concerns me the most is because the community sees the clothes that we wear, metaphorically speaking. It sees our actions, it sees our efforts in the community as we try to feed the hungry, as we try to clothe the naked, as we try to house the homeless, as we try to provide for the poor. Our faith in Jesus Christ, this purity manifests itself in those acts, those clothes of righteousness that are glimpses of the kingdom of God. People are looking to change their clothes today. And you have in your possession a fresh, brand new white robe that's been washed clean by the blood of Jesus that you can hand to those around you. Don't keep that wardrobe to yourself, but share this new outfit so that others can come to know their Savior and feel this family, as you heard the graduates say, feel this family surround them and comfort them in their journey. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you now and we give you thanks for how you have clothed us in righteousness. Remind us and keep us close to your side in all that we do. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.